Before we break up into our prayer groups, Mike Hubbard wanted us to remember Lee Culbertson in Florida. He's having brain surgery right now as we speak. So, Lee Culbertson, it's not somebody from our class, but this is a guy having brain surgery as we speak right now in Florida. This is a second tumor that is being hopefully going to be removed, and it's in a bad place, so it's going to be pretty serious. So he wanted me to announce that to our class. We'll go ahead and break up into our groups. If you're visiting, you're not sure what group to go with, just find the closest one. They'll adopt you temporarily. When the big hand is on the two, we get back in our seats, okay? We'll see you then. All right, if you guys want to go ahead and be making your way back to your seats, and we'll get going here. Oops, I need to keep that down, don't I? I was told I screech if I get it too high, so how's that? We'll keep it down. Is that better? All right, I'm gonna start a list on each side. So I have a clipboard here, and this is for signing up for, let me get the date right, for March the 29th for our missions conference. You're signing up to bring some food, and hopefully it can be something international, but American is okay too. So this would be like some kind of a snack item or something like that. All right, so I'll start this list on each side. And Dave Rush, do you collect these and turn them in, or how do we do this? All right, so make sure they get to Dave Rush. All right, birthdays and anniversaries. Only two birthdays this week that we have on records. Carrie Phipps and Tony Shelton. I thought I saw Tony. Tony, yes, on Saturday, is that right? Friday, okay. It's happy birthday. Yeah, what time do you want Leroy to be over? He said about 13:30, Leroy. All right. Anniversaries, no anniversaries until March the 17th. And actually, that's Tony and Kathy are up again. Any anniversaries this week that we missed that we don't have? Nope. All right, that's it. I was told to, we want to remember Betty Jenkins. Betty had surgery last Saturday, I believe, so it's been about a week. She's been moved to Princeton Rehab, so just remember Betty. And I announced about, just in case somebody wasn't in here, Lee Culbertson, a guy in Florida. He's not in this class, but a friend of someone in this class, having brain surgery right now as we speak, so we've prayed for him. All right, I believe that's it. Dr. Stevens, you're on.
Reading something here, somebody gave me. It was a note said, "Don't come back." No.
Oh, I forgot to sign that.
I think it was your name on there that said not to come back. So, hey, great to be here. This is our last full week here, or not full week. It's been only about 5 days here, but anyway, we're leaving Monday. If the pass will let us get through there, Sam's Gap, and then this is good. And then we will be back, not next week, the 15th, that weekend, 13th, 14th, 15th, leave Monday, come back on the 20th, 21, 22, or 20th, 21, 22. And so then our time is pretty well coming to a close, and don't say amen. I appreciate that, if you wouldn't. We've enjoyed our time here. Enjoyed this class. It's been an interesting class. Notice I use that word interesting because of some of the people you have in this class. No, they're all good guys and girls. Appreciate you. Love you. We're dealing here with the tenfold ministry of the Holy Spirit. And we looked at regeneration. And that is the process of the new birth. I mentioned to you, I believe that I had one of my professors says that when you get saved, over 32 things happen to you when you get saved. Many of them are, most of them aren't felt, but they happen to you. And I thank the Lord. Then we dealt with baptism, which was the placement into the body of Christ. We've been baptized into his body, and that is 1 Corinthians 12, verse 12, 13. There. And let me just think about this here for a minute here about that baptism. And I'm going to not deal with it today, but the Bible deals with seven different baptisms. Did you know that? All seven of them. And I'm going to deal with that maybe when I come back here, because there's a lot of confusion. I've heard people say, well, I need to get baptized because Jesus got baptized. That's called the doctrine of stupidity. Jesus Christ never committed a sin, never needed to be saved. His baptism was a baptism of righteousness. And then some people say, well, John the Baptist. No, that was a baptism of repentance. we're not getting baptized because of repentance. We've already done that when we got saved. And so we're going to be dealing with those baptisms and in the days, and I got a couple more times here, so we'll deal with that. And then indwelling, that's the presence of the Holy Spirit. So you see the process of the new birth. You see the placement into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit and the presence of the Holy Spirit indwelling. You are indwelt by the Holy Spirit. Keep in mind, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit would come and go, and not with us today. You are indwelt. That's then sealed, and I think that's where we left off. And so take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 1 for a few moments. We'll be dealing with different verses, but in Ephesians in chapter 1 here, you have the truth of that great thing. You are sealed in Galatians there in Ephesians chapter 1, and look with me there in verse 13 and 14. Matter of fact, all three persons of the Godhead, is it warm in here or is it just me? Can we get that heat turned down? Somebody do that, just either that or... either that or open all the windows, as you don't think you want to do. But it's rather warm in here. I know you want a preacher on fire, but you don't need to have it this way, so pray that we don't. But all three persons of the Godhead that are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 1, and we got the Father, the Son, matter of fact, each one of them, in the first, in verses 3, down to a verse... I'll get it here in a minute. Anyway, he deals with our Father, then the Son, and now we're dealing with the Holy Spirit here. Look there in verse 12, that we should be the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ. And he'll mention that phrase, praise to the glory, referring to the Father, the Son, and now the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 13, in whom ye also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and whom after you believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Then look at the next verse, which is the earnest of our inheritance till the redemption of the purchased possession. What is he referring to, the redemption of the purchased possession? Let's stop here and think about that one for a moment. What's he mean? What is he talking about here? He's not talking about your soul. I don't believe he is. What is he talking about here? Anybody want to give a guess? Until the redemption, what? It's got to be the body. Your body has not been purchased yet. Your drop has not been redeemed. I mean, I look at this body, it's obvious that's not been redeemed.
Feels that way, too.
Yeah, and neither is mine. And so he's referring here to the body. And keep in mind, I think I dealt with this a little bit last week, your body is very precious to God. Very precious. And he will take care of your body. It will disintegrate. But by the way, I said this last week, I said it again with Dogmatism, your body should disintegrate as God wants it. You shouldn't take action to disintegrate the body. This is why I have a real problem with cremation. But I won't get into that again. I dealt with that last week. But God is going to resurrect your body, and it's going to be a body, and it's going to be the body that will be very similar to Christ. I didn't write the text down, so I'm going to find it. Turn to 1 John somewhere. 1 John somewhere. Can you do that? 1 John 3. And verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it does not appear what we shall be. We know that when he shall appear, we shall be what? Like him. You'll be like him. Spirit, soul, and body. Your body is not like his body. Our Lord Jesus Christ was resurrected with a real body. By the way, your cults, particularly your Jehovah Witness, will attack if they say, well, Jesus didn't have a physical birth, a physical resurrection. He did have a physical resurrection. Absolutely. Matter of fact, he proved it when he ate the broiled fish. He wanted everybody to know. I don't know what they do with it. Well, they don't make sense anyway. But you have here the truth of, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, I've been asked this question. How old will we be What will, when the resurrection, I haven't the slightest idea, and neither do you. You can guess. Some people think it'll be the age of our Lord Jesus Christ. Doesn't make any difference. I don't know. But I do know this: you won't have wrinkles. You won't wear glasses. You won't have hearing aids. You'll have all your teeth. Praise God, you'll have all your hair. Some of you women, you dye your hair. Some of us men, our hair just dyed. We're going to get a whole new thought of hair, and that'll be nice. It'll be one of the things when I go back to the churches that I pastored, they'll say, "Oh, what happened to your hair?" And I say, "It's good to see you too. You don't look any better than I do, you know, because our body is disintegrating." And God's going to save the body. Your body's just not saved yet. It's not been redeemed yet, but it will. And so he gives us the Holy Spirit to seal, and the sealing here is referenced mainly to the body. Then verse 14 again, who is the earnest of our inheritance till the redemption of the purchased possession. And then that third time he says to the praise of his glory. You have praise to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. So here we have here the sealing. Now the first four ministries of the Holy Spirit are all a one-time act. You do not get, there are those who teach that you get a second blessing when you get baptized with the Holy Ghost. How many have ever heard that before? You get baptized. Well, brother, if you want to dwell on the second blessing, you go ahead. I've had a lot more than two blessings in my life, and I'm thankful for that. And, of course, they're referring to speaking in tongues when they talk about being baptized with the Holy Spirit. And I'm not going to get into all that today because that's another subject. And we recognize if you study the Bible that tongues, they were a language. They weren't just unknown speech that somebody just glibbering and so forth. Now turn to Ephesians 5 because we started to deal with this one as well. And we made this. Now the filling of the Holy Spirit, it's important for us to understand this. The filling of the Spirit of God is deals with the power of the Spirit of God, the power of the Holy Spirit. When you get the power of God in your life, you do so through the filling of the Holy Spirit. Now there are many fillings. As a matter of fact, I suggest to me every day, I don't need to get up with myself. I need to get up with God in the morning. Now I want you to turn to another one of those references. I forgot that. 2 Corinthians 4. Turn there with me because I want you to see this here before we even get to Ephesians. 2 Corinthians 4 here. 2 Corinthians 4. The Apostle Paul here is speaking here. Look down here to verse 10 particularly. Now this whole text here is very important, but we're only going to dwell in verse 10. For which cause we faint not. Now the word faint here has the idea of weakness, of not fulfilling with God. Now listen, folks. God wants us to live a changed life. But the only way you can live a changed life is to live the exchange life. Let God live through you. And that's what the fullness of the Spirit of God is all about. Look there in the next verse here. Very key, very important here. I draw your attention here, if you will, to verse 16. For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish. What's the outward man? What's he referring to? What? The walk? Yeah, that's part of it. That's hard. That's good. Anybody else? What is the
body?
The body. Yeah, you walk because you have a body. Your body, you walk in your body. In this body, we've already mentioned, this body's perishing. This body, I think I've mentioned this before. When Marilyn and I first started doing interims so many years ago, we would come and we had to sign an agreement. It was my idea with the church that we weren't look like we were trying to pastor a church by coming in the back door. Looked like we were going to be the interim and they'd love us so much then they'd want us to stay. So what we did, I'd sign this, have the deacon sign it to protect the church, protect the deacons, and so that they knew I wasn't trying to do that. And then one church said to me one day in Oakwood Baptist in Anderson, South Carolina, when I went to the door to say goodbye to everybody, greet everybody, a few weeks before we left, a lady looks, shook my hand, and she says, "Boy, if you weren't so old, you could be our pastor." I normally don't hit women. But that day, I wanted to hit her. But I tell you what, the reason why I didn't, two reasons. Marilyn wouldn't let me. Secondly, she was right. This is why I have not considered pastoring full-time again, because I don't have the energy level to do what I used to do. Why? Because the body, the outward man, is perishing. And I don't have the level. If you ever see me go up a steps now, we have to hang on to the... This is the age. Many of you have to hang on to a rail. Am I right or not? Yeah, you know. And now in these days, I try to take one step at a time because I'm afraid I'm going to trip and fall. And now I won't do it here for three reasons. Number one, I wouldn't be able to do it. Number two, Marilyn won't let me. But I can remember many times that I'd be preaching, I'd just jump up on a pew. Now they'd have to carry me out of here. Or I'd fall off. And Marilyn says, "Honey, don't try that anymore." Why the old man is perishing. But the inward, listen to me, the inward self through the Holy Spirit is as young as the day I got saved. I want you to get that. Your body is growing old, but your spirit is as young as the day you got saved. Because that's where you got saved, in your spirit, by the Holy Spirit. So look, he said, though the outward and the inward man is renewed how? How? Day by day. You cannot live on yesterday's fullness of the Spirit. You cannot live on yesterday's experiences. Every day is a new day, and I suggest you never wake up with yourself. You wake up with the Holy Spirit. And the first thing I do in the morning is I want to just let Him, I talk to Him, and let Him talk to me, because He is the president, He is the president of my life. He is in charge. And He exalts the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, there is no such thing as a charismatic movement in the Bible. Charismatic referring to the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit didn't come to exalt Himself. He came to exalt the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's His ministry. And so He's in me, and He needs to be... I call it the office of the Holy Spirit. If He has an office, then you got to give Him office room to do His work. And I happen to be that office room, and you happen to be that office room, whereby He can work through us. So we have here the Holy Spirit. Now, so with that in mind, so every day, I want to say this as dogmatically as I can. How many of you wake up here? I want to get to my point in a minute. How many wake up and you don't feel good, and you're got things you face today you don't want to face, and your bones are cracking, and you're just maybe in your bad mood? How many have been there? The rest of you are lying. That's because you wake up with yourself, and you listen to yourself. And yourself, we're going to say a lot of things that are not good, because you have lit within you two natures. You have a new nature and you have an old nature. I brought this book because I wanted to read what this book said about the two you have here. He says this, and so in order to let the new nature take over, I got to let the Holy Spirit be in charge. This book says, two natures beat within my breasts. The one is vile, the one is blessed. The one I love, the one I hate, the one I feed will dominate. Let me read that again to you. Two natures beat within my breast. The one is foul, the one is blessed. The one I love, the one I hate, the one I feed will that will dominate. And you've got to start the day with the Lord. And no better way than to talk to Him, the Holy Spirit, and let Him know He's in charge, and then go to prayer. And it isn't the length of prayer, it's the depth of prayer. It's not the length, it's the depth of prayer. Meeting with God, getting into your Bible. Who wrote that book? Who wrote that book we're teaching? Who did that? Who? Somebody. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit wrote it. So He speaks to us, and we need to listen to Him. I'm going to deal with that this morning. My message this morning is how to come to church. Out of Ecclesiastes 5, first three verses. But my point of it is, now, before we get to Ephesians, go to Acts. Now, the Bible that I hold in my hand, how many have a title in your title that says the Acts of the Apostles? How many have that in there? What's this book called? Acts of the Apostles? Is that right? That's wrong. That's wrong. The book of Acts is not about the Acts of the Apostles. It's the Acts of the Holy Spirit through the Apostles. And that's okay. I mean, I haven't done anything to Scripture folk. That's a title. That's not in the original. That's not in the context of what we read. But it's the Acts of the Holy Spirit as He lived through these apostles. And then you come over there to Acts 1 and verse 8, which is key verse. But you shall receive what? Power. The power of the Holy Spirit, when you think of this. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and in Samaria and in othermost parts of the earth. Now, the Holy Spirit will make some definite key changes here. Now, often been asked, how do I know when I'm filled with the Spirit and not filled with the Spirit? Let me just give you some thoughts here. I don't think this is all inclusive, but I've thought a lot about that. If I come in here this morning and I'm, how are you folks today? What do you think's happened? I've been drinking. I will show and act. Don't you anybody put that on the video they want to show about us, whatever. Don't do that. If you do, you're out of this church. I'll see to it. But you act different. When you're filled with the Holy Spirit, according to Ephesians 1, which we may get to and may not get to this morning, you're different. You're not the same. You're everything about you. How many have ever been in a bad mood? Let's see our wicked hands. You ready for this? There ain't nothing in the Bible about the doctrine of moodology. That's just sin. You're just not filled with the Spirit of God. And we realize that. But I'm going to give you just some thoughts real quick here about it. What are some of the ways that to be filled with the Spirit? Well, number one, we'll see the world as God sees it. Is the world your friend? The Bible says over there in James 4:4, it's an enemy of God. God is at enmity with the world. It's your enemy. And one of the first things you realize is the world is, somebody said to me, so I get a kick out of people who say, well, what's wrong with this? What's wrong with wearing that? What's wrong with going there? If you have to ask the question, you will never understand the answer. Because the Holy Spirit will show you that we're to be different. We're not to imitate the world. And that's one of them. I'll give you another two or three here real quick. And we will seek the things that satisfy God. Go to Colossians. I want you to see this in Colossians. Now there are two worlds that everybody lives in as a Christian. Two worlds. I'll get to Colossians chapter 3, I believe it is. I keep forgetting the right verses down, but that's all right. All right. You live in the physical world. Are you listening to me? You're also living in the faith world. The world that lifts you out of this world and takes you in your thought life and in your mind to the Holy Spirit to that world. Look at Colossians 3. And look there. If you be risen with Christ, seek those things which are where? I can't be talking about this world. He's not talking about getting on an airplane and think you're closer to God. My son is a pilot, and he'll go, 30,000 feet in the air, whatever, 35. I don't. You're a pilot. You don't understand what I'm saying. That doesn't get you any closer to God. Gets you closer to a possible wreck if you don't fly it right. He's obviously referring to the other world, which is the spirit world, where we can enjoy God in ourselves. It's called meditation. Meditation. Have you ever heard that word before? It's a Bible word. It means to mull over the thoughts that God places in your mind. That's what it means. We will start each day anew. We'll see the world as God sees it. We'll see the things that satisfy God. We'll start each day anew. Though the outward man is renewed, how often? Day by day. Now, you've heard me say this. Man is made up of a trinity. Right? Am I correct? Are you here? Are you here this morning? Somebody give me the three parts of man's makeup.
Spirit, soul, body.
You got it right. I think the first time I asked that, you got it wrong, if I remember. No,
I got it wrong.
1 Thessalonians 5:23 talks about the three parts. What do we automatically say?
The body first.
Body, soul, and spirit. If you're filled with the Spirit, you don't live in the body, soul, and spirit, that order. The Spirit is the part that communes with God, and that's always at the top. We have people today. Now, the Spirit is where your faith is. Your soul is where your feelings are. And your body is the physical. How many have ever been sad? Sure you have. How many have just been depressed, discouraged? That's the soul. You got to put the Spirit in control. The Holy Spirit communes with the human spirit and puts him at the top. That's why we can say the joy of the Lord is what?
Strength.
Our strength. Yeah. How about this one? I forgot what it is. Oh, I just lost it. Will it come back? I don't know. See, that's what happens when you get old. You lose it. This is a day the Lord has made. We shall what?
Rejoice and be glad.
We will. Doesn't ask your opinion. It says you will rejoice. Doesn't say you may rejoice. You will rejoice. Yeah, but you don't know what I'm going through. God does. But if the Spirit is in, it rises above all those issues. It takes you to a new place and above those and your circumstances. I have people, I said to one lady one time, I said, how you doing? She said, well, under the circumstances. I said, well, get out from under there. That's not a good place to be. It's under your circumstances. Our son-in-law was going to come home. They need to raise support. But if they get off the island, they may not get back in for several months. They banned travel. And that's God's will. Hey, God doesn't make mistakes, folks. He knows what he's doing. I'm just glad they got the wall up before all that took place. I'm rejoicing in that. But you rejoice because you say, God is in control. Now, go back there. So just a few thoughts on what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. You see things completely different than you did before. Then you go to Ephesians. I've only got a couple minutes. One day I'll finish this. But anyway, well, I got two more. Anyway, go to Ephesians 5, verse 18. Be not drunk with wine, where in excess, but be what? Filled with the Spirit. When one is filled with the Spirit, he is different than when he's not filled with the Spirit, as though one who is filled with drink is different when he's not filled with drink. I lived in a drunkard's home. I understand all that. But I'm glad now that I live in with the Spirit in mind. He's in control. And then he lists all these things. I mentioned them to you last week. All these things. Your marriage is different. I had a couple one time come to me and I said, well, I always ask the lady first. I said, well, how do you think you were going to solve this marriage problem? She said, I'm going to kill him. I thought, well, that's one way to solve a marriage problem. It will create a few other problems, but it will solve a marriage problem. And then I asked him, I said, when's the last time you told your wife you're married? Do you love her? Oh, a few years back, I think I mentioned. I could see right away we got some real issues here. And the truth of it is, the bottom line, when we got through with counseling, I watched them hug each other and kiss each other down the line several weeks later because the Spirit of God had taken over. And they begin to say, well, you did such a wonderful job counseling. He did. He did. The Holy Spirit who lives in us. Let's move on. Well, we can't move on too far. Time's about up. So we have regeneration, baptism, indwelling, sealing and feeling. And then we have the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit. Well, I'm going to save that when I come back here the next time, because he deals with nine fruit of the Spirit. Now, I want you to turn to the passage to look at it. Galatians chapter 5. And then we're going to close. I'm going to read this wrong. You watch it. I hope you catch what I'm doing. Verse 22, 23. But the fruits of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against us there is no law. What word did I go? Fruits. That's it. These are not individual. You can't have love and not have joy. Cannot have joy and not have peace. When he takes over, all three of these happen. And they're working simultaneously. How many have ever lost your temper? Wouldn't it be good if we did lose it? Just get do away with it and wouldn't have a problem that long? He deals with this in the text. And we'll deal with this next time. God bless you. You're dismissed till my next time with you.